following A2A one-on-one feature is a production of the nonprofit Adversity to Advocacy Alliance. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of A2A or advocates, allies, or ally organizations. We hope you'll find this interview both informative and inspiring. And now, here's our host, Liz St. John.
Stephanie Gargiulo is a 23-year-old college senior at Kennesaw State University in Georgia. She has a learning disability, which inspired her in 2013 to found I Have Capabilities, Not Disabilities. It's an organization developed for those who struggle with disabilities and those who are inspired by someone with a disability. It gives people the opportunity to share their stories and increase awareness of disabilities. Stephanie has also been the victim of bullying and has dealt with grief after the loss of her mother and a close friend. She has served as an elected member of the Kennesaw State University student government, and this June, she is competing in the Miss Georgia pageant. Stephanie, thanks so much for taking the time in your busy schedule to talk with us one-on-one.
Absolutely. Thank you all for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
When did you first become aware of your learning difference or disability? How was it identified?
Well, when I was younger growing up, I knew that I was always struggling and teachers were always taking that extra time to help me. But my mom, thankfully, she was an advocate for me and she made sure that I got the right help that I needed. But I didn't find out actually until third grade that I actually had an actual learning disability. A lot of the teachers thought it was ADD, but they found out that I had an auditory processing disorder.
What does that mean?
So basically, auditory processing disorder is just a big word for saying that you comprehend things through the way you hear differently than the average person. And not until I was a freshman in college did I find out that it was a language disorder, which is every kind of aspect of language through the way you hear things, the comprehension and reading, and every aspect of language.
So what type of remediation was available?
Thankfully, I had to go to a different school after a while, but there was a lot of speech teachers that I was able to speak with. And just basically just having someone guide me in the right direction, being able to take me out of classroom to take my tests so that I wasn't pressured by all the other students when they would get done before me, or just have that kind of environment where I just, felt lower when in fact I just took more time and I just processed things differently.
So how did that affect your life?
It affected my life not as much as when I was younger because mom never let me think that I was different than anybody else. So I never really separated myself from anybody. But when I was in fourth and fifth grade, that is when I realized, wait a second, I actually am different. And that's when I actually had to transfer schools to go to a special education class and ride this short bus. And, I wasn't comfortable with myself telling people that I was riding the short bus until middle school. And that was something that toyed with my mind, though. And it's come along all the way through middle school, high school, and even college it's affected me. But I've come up with coping mechanisms for sure.
Tell us about the bullying. Was that part of this challenge, learning challenge, or was this a separate issue?
Yeah, no, it's a combination. As a child now these days, and even a long time ago, everybody's been bullied. But I think it's all the way in the perspective that we raise our kids to look at bullying. Unfortunately, kids aren't the nicest these days, but I was bullied for my learning disability, especially the riding the short bus. That was no doubt an effect of it, especially when I would take a test there. I had to go out of the room to take my test or put my exam in a box that was labeled special education. There was that kind of separation that I did have to confront as I got older. But, I've come to terms with it. And once again, I look at it as a capability more than anything. I feel like having that mentality when we were younger, that kind of pushed you. You were always knocked down. But because you were always knocked down every single day, it gives you this mentality to never give up. And you have this persistence that maybe not others had to deal with when they were younger. And so it's kind of molded me into the person that I am today.
When did you decide to take your adversity into an advocacy?
I think that was just, it was probably a multitude of years that just kind of molded me and realized, like, I want to help other people kind of think the way that I think. Probably when I was younger. I know that sounds silly, but instead of going to recess, I was the kid that was in the disability department with those children who are physically disabled. And I spent my recess helping kids, you know, put their backpack up in their cubby or play a game with them. And I think I saw that. I saw that at a young age. And thankfully, I had people around me and my family was able to guide me in that direction, that it's just a difference, but that we are all capable. And I think that I saw it at that very young age, that that was something I wanted to do and give back.
So you were, from a really young age, helping others. So how did that make you feel? How does helping others help you?
You know, some people I know may think that this is selfish, but there's something with the way everybody copes, and we all cope differently. And I guess one of the ways that I cope is using my pain to help others. And that has been a significant thing with, you know, from having a learning disability, losing everything in a house fire, and losing my mom. That has been a way that I've gotten through it. And I think that, you know, the way I've coped is definitely by helping others. And it's no doubt seeing someone smile or seeing someone say, oh my gosh, I never knew someone was going through the same thing. Or thank you for sharing your story, because you just changed the perspective and way that I look at things and the way I want to move forward with my life. People did it for me, and I want to do it for others.
You'll be competing in the Miss Georgia competition in June. It's not your first competition. So tell us why you got involved in pageant competition, and what do you get out of the experience, and what do you hope to share with others through this experience?
Oh my gosh. That's a loaded question. The reason being is I got involved when I was 15, and it is an amazing organization. The Miss America organization is one of the largest providers of scholarship in the world for women. But with that, it helped me overcome my speech difficulties, my language difficulties. I mean, our interviews are top notch. I mean, they threw some hard questions at you. And I can't say, I don't know if I would be the same person talking to you here today if it wasn't for putting myself out there in those difficult situations. But it did take me 3 years to win my first local. And there was some adversity in there too. It took me 19 times, 3 years. And I know there's other girls with that same story, but usually that's not common. But I kept with it and I stayed with it because I knew I was doing it for the bigger purpose. And that was to promote my platform and just better myself.
Here you go, another competition. And then looking forward after that, after college, what are your plans, your hopes, your goals?
Right. So here after college, hopefully I'll be Miss Georgia, but and heading to Miss America in September. But, you know, if God doesn't give me that opportunity, then I am going to hopefully work at Spanx headquarters here in Atlanta. You know, Sarah Blakely, she has an amazing story, and I am just inspired by it and how she's was so persistent and never gave up. And I would love to work for them. I've, you know, built a website and bought a domain to put my portfolio on it, and I'm still working on it here today. But just focusing on bettering myself, I eventually do want to have some aspirations of owning my own company like my dad and brother. But it's just about the journey, and who knows where life's going to take me. But I'm definitely excited.
Offer some words of advice or wisdom or encouragement for others who are challenged with a learning difference or any adversity.
I think one of the big things is looking at your mentality and your perspective of everything. That's a big thing with life. Everything that we face, everything that we confront is a mental game. And you have to approach it with the mentality that you can do it. And if you approach everything with that can-do attitude, then nothing's going to knock you down. I know other people have difficulties with their disability and being so positive, but it's all the perspective that you take it, because I've seen some people do amazing things regardless of their disability. And I think that that is the focus that people need to focus on.
Stephanie Gargiulo is the founder of I Have Capabilities, Not Disabilities. We wish you all the best, and thank you for sharing your story one-on-one.
Thank you so much for having me today.
You've been listening to A2A One-on-One, an outreach project of the nonprofit Adversity to Advocacy Alliance. To listen to other one-on-one interviews and to learn more about A2A, please visit us online at a2aalliance.org. And thanks for helping us spread the word that we help ourselves by helping others.